There haven't been a great many instances like this in celebrity. I remember when Charlie Sheen was going down an addict's crazy public path, shouting at everybody that he was winning while descending into the horror of addiction in a way that scared his family. It was the rare mental illness breakdown that we were able to somehow enjoy, because I guess at the time we didn't have enough understanding of addiction and mental illness to understand that Charlie Sheen was spiraling out of control. Now, the same thing seems to be happening with Kanye West, where his behavior is so odd that it feels like a mental breakdown. And he has spoken to his bipolar issues before. He has also spoken to being off of his meds, and it'll make you manic. And he was already, an egomaniac, narcissist on his meds. But Dave Chappelle went to visit him in Wyoming, Stugatz, and Kanye West was touched by the friendship in that. And I thought it was interesting that Dave Chappelle did that, even as Kanye West put him in this terrible spot where they're on a video together. He basically is just telling him to be funny again and again. And Dave Chappelle can't do that way. Couldn't do it that way, where right. Kanye was just telling him, say something funny, say something light. And Dave Chappelle's like, that's not how I do this.
Right.
But he was uncomfortable because he's there to help a friend who seems to be having a mental breakdown. And I remember seeing Dave Chappelle on Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton. If you don't remember the show, James Lipton has passed away. But he had a classroom where he asked a lot of artists. He got real creators to sit down in a classroom and talk to his students, and he got the most famous of the famous. And Dave Chappelle sat there one time and talked about what happened with Martin Lawrence, and Martin Lawrence going crazy in the streets of Hollywood with some sort of episode that was very public. And Dave Chappelle framed this as, I know Martin Lawrence to be an exceptionally strong person. What does Hollywood do to these people? What is fame? What is celebrity? How does it contaminate? How does it corrupt where you become this Harvey Weinstein monster where you have so much power that you think you could basically just whip it out and have sex with anybody that you want? What is it about the debauchery of Hollywood and celebrity that makes Dave Chappelle somehow understand what Kanye West is going through and go to Wyoming during a pandemic in order to reach out to Kanye West because he's having a public meltdown that people are really, really enjoying laughing at, Stugatz? I feel for as much as we've evolved on the mental health front, as much as we've evolved on understanding that addiction is a sickness, we haven't evolved that much from what we were watching with Charlie Sheen, because we're doing it again to Kanye West, because it's just easier to laugh at than actually contemplate whatever darkness he's crawling through as a guy who's a billionaire, as a guy who's got, the Kardashian family, has multiple billionaires in it.
Right.
And the world that they've chosen to create, right, that has, these are very strong NBA players like Lamar Odom who end up in that world. And then what happens with the reality elements of that, that ends up spending everybody, like the reality show elements of the fame that contaminate that absolutely, where Kanye West is having a public mental breakdown, and it's being met with a great deal of laughter.
I didn't realize that his breakdown. Now, listen, I partook in the laughter when Charlie Sheen had his breakdown. We were doing shows, as you pointed out. Part of me, as I get older, regrets doing some of that stuff. Like Charlie Sheen just announced that he quit cigarettes, and it's been 2 years, and he's proud of himself, and he's trying to become a better person as he gets older. And I remember laughing at him while he was crumbling, and now, armed with some age and maybe some perspective, I regret doing that. I didn't realize people were actually laughing at Kanye West. That is the case. There is laughter. Yeah, people are enjoying his meltdown.
Well, his behavior, here's what's happening here, and it's not hard to understand. this person was and is an ego monster, but he was and is an ego monster who now seems to have been very public with his vulnerabilities on how it is that he's fighting his mind. What I have found very often with people who have these monster egos, Stugatz, not always, but very often, is it's just hardened shell for some actual insecurities. Who knows what Kanye West's daily life is like?
Right.
It must be pretty dark. It's wealthy, but it must be pretty dark if you're reading some of these things and you have a personality where you are fighting your mind in front of all of us, and the reaction of us as you try to explain yourself is largely to laugh at you, because we love a good comeuppance. We love to have ego humbled, and we love to mock the plight of celebrities. So those things run together, and Kanye West ends up being less human. He just becomes a cartoon. He becomes a cartoon celebrity who's not in any kind of pain. He's just something that exists to mock because he's throwing it all away.
I think a lot of people don't understand mental illness. They don't understand the breakdown that can come and result from mental illness, regardless of the amount of wealth you have. And I think people on the outside of this story would say, hey, you're Kanye West. You were an ego monster. You weren't terribly nice on the way up. And now you're having this mental breakdown. You have resources that I wish I had. You had money that I wish I had. Go get help. Go fix
it. Well, but it is harder than that. I can tell you this, having actually known a good amount of bipolar behavior, that if you're not on your meds, it becomes an insanity. It becomes, if you do not take medication for bipolar disorder, it can become something that ravages you and swallows you, and nothing else ends up mattering other than your pain. And you can't be off your meds. Like, it's, you're on the cusp of schizophrenia there. Like, when you start getting diagnosed with, you know, some of these things, the things that they go through when they go to manic depressive, bipolar, and schizophrenia, the testing that they do to find out what that is, if you are not medicated with lithium or with something else, something stronger, what you end up have happening is a person who is totally out of control, who, because the nature of bipolar is you suffer these lows that you cannot get out from under, but you also have these incredible manic highs where you are simply feeling like you are bulletproof and you're the only one in the world who has sense. Now imagine giving that to an egomaniac. Imagine giving that to a guy who's already got a substantive ego, and now make him somebody who thinks he's got it all figured out and he knows something, that he's not the one who's crazy. It's the rest of the world that's crazy.
Subscribe to the Levitard and Friends podcast network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week wherever you get your podcasts.
Is the latest Stupidity out, or does it come out tomorrow?
It comes out tomorrow. It has our old morning host. Well, I guess, yeah, our old morning host, Trey Wingo, and it has our new morning host, Zubin Mehenti. How about that?
Newest Mystery Crate dropped this morning. It is an inside look at the classic arcade game NBA Jam. We talk about the history. Anthony and I interview the author of a book that chronicles the history of this great arcade game, takes you behind the scenes and secret characters that weren't in the game. There's copies that exist out there of them included in the game. The rich and powerful have access to this game. We get down deep into the weeds about the history.
We have bad news to share with the audience. I know Chris Cody will experience this the way that I did. The man who invented cashew chicken has passed away at 99 years old.
No way.
He's a U.S. vet from China. He's someone who lived in Missouri the last years of his life, 99 years old. I really do feel like we have to erect a monument to him or something. Cashew chicken is amazing. No one disputes this, right? No, this is not something to be disputed by anyone.
If you've noticed that Chris and Tony and myself are a little down today, that's horrible news in itself, but our mornings got off to a rocky start as our golden goose, Bambino, the great George Kent. This was a secret to many. Everyone, we kept alluding to a golden goose because we did not want the secret out there. This man was an unbelievable sports gambler. It appears that he passed away 4 days after his last tweet back in May, and the community is mourning his loss.
I would say, now, I think people would dispute this, Dan. I agree with you. We should erect a monument for this person, the creator, the inventor of cashew chicken, because it is my favorite chicken on the Chinese food menu. But I think people would argue that General Tso's probably is the most popular chicken. Some people would say chicken and broccoli. Some people would say sweet and sour. Some people would even say honey sesame chicken.
Honey okay? chicken is the right. best of all yeah. of the Chinese chickens. Put it on the poll. Put it all on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Not a whole lot of people. The healthy might say something about chicken and broccoli, but that chicken and broccoli is a different category from the honey chicken and the cashew chicken.
Are we all unsure on how to pronounce that? Is it General Tso's or General Tso's?
It was General Chow for me for a while.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Excellent work out of you.
Got it.
I think that's one of the
I don't think that's something that you should be
bragging about.
I know
how to pronounce chow.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, when I was growing up going to the Golden Palace in Port Washington, that's the way I would pronounce
it. You're an expert. How do you pronounce it?
I don't have General Chow. Tao's,
so
Tao's,
is it?
Tao, I don't
Tao's,
know. I don't know how to pronounce.
The days that. Of me arrogantly correcting people on how to pronounce things are over after yesterday's Quinnon.
I pronounce it honey chicken is yeah. how I pronounce it. I pronounce it cashew chicken. I pronounce it chicken and broccoli. But you cannot put chicken and broccoli in the class with all those other decadences you just put it in. You know, like chicken and broccoli does not it is a lower tier of Chinese food.
All right, that's fair. So are we saying the top tier is the honey garlic chicken, the General Tso's chicken, and chicken and cashews? Because
we got to find out if we're pronouncing this wrong. Let's find out how to pronounce the General Tao's chicken is the same. It's kind of the same as honey chicken, is it not? It's right in the realm.
I'm going to look it up, but what's your final answer?
Honey chicken is my final answer.
On how to pronounce General Tao's?
Chicken dishes, because Mongolian beef would like a seat at this table.
Mongolian beef is going to have to sit at another table. This table is segregated. I'm sorry. This is the chicken table. There's no beef allowed at this table. Yes, Tony.
How did we forget orange chicken, which is a big component,
wow.
too?
It's a but good one.
Isn't it? That's not in the honey chicken family. I feel like all of these fried chickens, these balls of fried chicken are the same.
I go sweet and sour over orange chicken, by the way. That is the chicken that you want.
Now, how about the chicken? Because I love the chicken that you put in lettuce wraps. I don't know what we call it, but when it has those a little cold white flakes that go along with it, it is delightful.
It's pronounced General So.
Oh. Yes, Roy.
Definitely teriyaki chicken there, Dan.
Oh, wow. Okay, now we've got a mess. We've got a mess on our hands, and we need to clean it up.
I feel like that belongs in the chicken and broccoli division. I mean, I don't know about you.
It is. It's a second tier of healthier non-fried thing.
Were we just doing Asian food or Chinese food? Because teriyaki, isn't that Japanese?
Good point.
Just to take this back to a subject earlier, all these different varieties of chickens is exactly why malls will thrive, because until Bezos figures out how to give away all these chicken samples when you're browsing shoes online, he's not going to put malls out of business.
Where do you set the over-under, Mike? Stugatz does not get to set these things. You set it at what number?
Give you an opportunity for a push. 3.
All right. So Bike for Humanity.
I once had Bill Walton on Stupidity. I didn't ask him a single question. He went on for 42 minutes. I mean,
he's the best.
Yep.
Bike for Humanity 2 takes place this Saturday, July 25th. If you want more information, you go to bikeforhumanity.com. This is very exciting. We're always very excited when Bill Walton makes an appearance on the show. So, Bill, we begin in the usual place. How is life, sir? Is it grandiose and psychedelic?
We are working on that. We are planning on the miracle. We are seeking shelter from the storm. We are listening to Electric on the Eel as we approach the days between in the summertime here. And we are working feverishly. We're doing everything we can to make it happen. We are trying to figure out the way to make the different world better, to take the challenges that we have and turn those into a privileged opportunity, to find a new path forward, and then to do what's never been done before. So other than that, everything is fantastic, and we're having a really solid run toward Fight for Humanity 2 brought back by popular demand.
These are crazy, crazy times.
I was listening and studying Beethoven the other day, and there was a very poignant scene at the end of Hershey Felder's program. And Beethoven was going to kill himself at one point in his 20s, as I was going to kill myself, I'm going to say 12 years ago. And I didn't, but and Beethoven didn't either. And when he was asked at the end of his life why he didn't kill himself, because he had a lot of trouble, a lot of challenges, a terrible family life, and a brutalizing father and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, he said that he realized that it wasn't time to leave until you've given everything that you have. And so I am here today on the Dan and Stugatz show to give everything that I have. And we're using the platform of Bite First Humanity.
We need a little and more. This, yes, thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Please continue.
Mm-hmm. At this time, we have changed the beneficiaries. Because it's a free event. It's free to sign up, free to participate. You go to bikefirsthumanity.com, spell it all out. But this time we are focused on an organization, national organization, run by Brother Terry Esau. She's constantly shadow boxing the apocalypse, but he runs free bikes for kids. And what he does is he goes out and he collects all the bikes that nobody's using anymore, and he rehabs them, and then he gives them away to all the children who don't have a bike. And then we're also supporting No Kid Hungry. It is staggering. Guys, we are the richest country in the history of the world, and there is enough food, but there are countless millions of children who do not know where their next meal is coming from, and so we are that is unacceptable to us, and so we're supporting No Kid Hungry. Also, the Rex Foundation, who for 37 years has been doing all kinds of fantastic work. Stugatz can talk about the Rex Foundation. And then the Boys and Girls Club, where literally everybody that I know that ever made it into the NBA started in the Boys and Girls Club, and it's just a fantastic organization that provides the platform, shelter from the storm, and all the different things that allow people to build their lives, to create their dreams, and be a part of something special, because we're about health, hope, community, and service. Fight for Humanity.
What does it mean to shadow box the apocalypse?
Well, when you're up against it, as we are right now, you know, we have five simultaneous crises right now going on. And when it can seem overwhelming, you have to find a way to move through it, to move beyond it, and to get to a better space. And so as we do shadow box the apocalypse up against it, we are looking at COVID-19, the economic collapse, the social justice awakening, which is long overdue, and I'm in full support of that. And then the climate change and the species extinction threats that we're facing on a daily basis, which is continuing to get worse. And so we are working on all of these fronts on a constant basis. Dan, I've never been busier. And I'm trying my best to not mistake activity for achievement, and trying to be productive as can be, and try to do as much as I can to help ease the pain and lift the burden. That's the burden of the people who can't do anything out there, because my health remains very good, very solid and strong. Our 6 children and 14 grandchildren are doing awesome out there. And ESPN is doing its job. And with the bubble and with the baseball starting up and all the different live sports that are trying to make that world come back, because that is my world. I live for the live events, and just think of all the things that have been shut down. Live events are the first to go and the last to come back. But we're working feverishly and tirelessly on all of that stuff. And it's critically important that you have to embrace the uncertainty. That's the nature of the entrepreneurial life that we've all chosen here. But also to understand that while this is going to take everything that we have and probably more, you cannot finish anything until we start. And so we're underway. Baseball is underway. Basketball is underway. Now we just have to keep making the constant adjustments that you make during the course of the battle to make things better. And that's the fight that I want to be in, and I want to be on the right side of history.
Bill was he was taking lyrics from a song called My Brother Esau, a great Grateful Dead song, and Bill weaved that into the conversation, shadowboxing the apocalypse. I'm wondering, Bill, there are a lot of important things to address, and you are certainly addressing them and pitching in and doing your part, but live music and live musical events are such a big part of your life, especially in the summer, same for me, and I've seen you at Dead concerts. How are you moving here? How are you living here without live music? Because I know few people, Bill, where live music, concerts, gatherings mean more to them than they mean to you. So how are you proceeding here without having live music, live concerts in your life?
All of that stuff is part of who I am. And I go to the concerts. There was supposed to be a Dead show in Michigan tonight. I would have been there. Yep. Then on to Chicago at Wrigley Field for the big weekend, as they always do, before going to Cleveland and Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then to New Jersey, Saratoga, Washington, D.C., and up to Boston, and just all these different places that we'd be going right now. But the reason I go, I go to learn, I go to be inspired, I go to be healed, I go to gain confidence, I go to be with my friends and family, and I go to learn. And so that's not happening right now. So I have learned over the course of my life, and I've learned this the hard way, is that I have to have music going in my life all the time. While I do listen and love the sounds of nature, the book that I'm just finishing up right now, The Overstory by Richard Power, is an incredibly important and inspirational book about the fight to preserve the nature. Another incredible book, The World Without Us by Alan Weisman. But I have to try to create that culture, the world that I want to be in. And all the NBA guys right now, they're down in that bubble. And so they're challenged with how to create the space that allows them to be productive, that allows them to be creative. And so one of the things that I do is that I just always have the music going. And even when I'm practicing the drums, even when I'm practicing the piano, I'll have something else on that's just playing, because you never know in your lives where the light is going to come from.
What?
And you learn that once in a while you get shown the light in the strangest of places if you look at it right.
Yes.
And so as we think about the ability to provide a free bike for a child, to get a meal for a kid who's hungry, to support the indigenous people who are fighting with everything they have just for their survival, or the Boys and Girls Club, where they're able to create a place where people can go. I'm the luckiest guy in the world. You know, a couple of songs that have been popping up today, besides Waiting for a Miracle, Brother Esau, is Waiting for a Miracle and Shelter from the Storm. And those two songs encapsulate just a lot of the things that we're working on. And the amazing thing about my shuffle knows where I need to go.
Bikes for Humanity too. I got to cut you off because we're out of time, unfortunately. Just, Bill, I need a short answer to this because we are out of time. Yeah. What is the best sound in nature? The best sound, according to Bill Walton, we only have a couple of seconds. One sound in nature.
Silence. The sounds of silence.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
The quiet. And the best place for that is Death Valley. The best place for the quiet is Death Valley. We love you guys. Thanks for having me.
BikeForHumanity.com. Bike for Humanity 2 takes place this Saturday, July 25th. If you want more information, BikeForHumanity.com. Stugatz, we've got a lot of good polls from the last 2 days. It is a wild ride of nonsense at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Let's update all of the polls so people can see where the lazy river has taken us the last 2 days.
The Twitter polls brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection and shine in no time. At Lebatard Show on Twitter, as Dan just said, is it weird to visit cemeteries on vacation? Greg Cody did that. 72.6% of the audience said yes. I mean, the 25% or so that are not thinking that that's weird is weird. Is it weird to shampoo your hair in the pool?
Chris has been calling it shampooing.
95% of the audience said yes. Which is weirder, shampooing your hair in the pool or visiting cemeteries on vacation? 65% of the audience said shampooing in the pool. Which is a better nickname for the viral, scantily clad Miami Beach street fighter? Bimbo Slice or Kaboob? How do you think this one was, Dan? It's a tough one. Bimbo Slice or Kaboob?
I'm guessing it probably went Bimbo Slice, although I would take Kaboob.
78% of the audience said Bimbo Slice. I would have went Kaboob. Should you be regularly shampooing in the pool? 93% of the audience said no. Is the report that after testing 346 players for coronavirus, the NBA had zero positives, the first hope you had that basketball will be able to pull this off? 82% of the audience said yes.
Numbers couldn't be any better than that, right? Like, if you want to be hopeful,
100%.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on this thing. Do you think of caretaker at a cemetery as a desirable job?
This is a good show we did yesterday.
81% of the audience said no. Do most cemetery gates squeak? Of course they do. 97% of the audience said yes. Is it disrespectful to jog at a cemetery? 65% of the audience said yes. Is Laffy Taffy too hard to open? It is. 77% of the audience said yes. Is Stugatz even lazy about eating candy? I am. 96% of the audience said yes. Should snakes be extinct? 52% of the audience said no. Surprising.
That's just yesterday's polls.
Yeah. Are you rooting for the Pittsburgh Blue Jays to win the World Series? That has to become America's team.
It's a
right?
good question. It's an excellent question. The Pittsburgh Blue Jays.
61% of the audience.
The Pittsburgh Blue Jays of Canada.
61% of the audience said yes. Is a Nike sneaker something you should buy in a store? Dan thinks it is. 64% of the audience agrees. They
really?
Said yes.
You yeah. guys were telling me how yeah. old I sounded. 64% of you agree?
We could have framed that question differently. I'm curious to know the majority of the audience. How did they get
We got
shoes?
Some hardware questions for you. We're out of time, unfortunately.
Do you like going to a hardware store? 57% of the audience said yes.
You are not a man!